Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 12. Isaiah 52, 7 to 12, page 739 on the Pew Bibles. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Amen.
And we read again in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 1 at verse 39. Luke chapter 1 at verse 39, reading to the end of verse 45. Continuing in our short series, which looks at the stories which accompanied the pre-birth of our Lord. So Luke chapter 1 at verse 39. At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Thanks be to God for his word. May he give us grace to hold fast to his truth. Now let us pray. God our Father, this day in Advent we remember the ancient people of God who looked to your promises, delivered so faithfully by the prophets, the promises that told of a coming day when the Messiah would come and when the great plan would be pushed forward that would result in a new creation. And we pray, Lord, that that plan would be alive in our minds and hearts today as now we approach your word, and pray that there will be renewal of our thoughts, of our attitudes, of our very being as your word goes forth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the last 3 weeks of my father's life were spent in the Prince and Princess of Wales Hospice in Glasgow. And I know that many of you have gone through a similar experience accompanying a loved one through the final stages of their life. And you'll agree with me that it can be a very intense experience. I have many vivid memories of that time, but there's one in particular that has seemed to stay with me, and it has to do with my mother. I can see her now standing, speaking to a lady whose husband was in the bed just across from my dad. And they were standing there, we Glasgow women, about the same height. Their heads were very close together. And they were speaking in very low voices. And I don't know what they were saying, but you just got the impression that at that particular moment, something very deep was being communicated between them. In a sense, their souls were touching in that moment. And I don't think it was just that they were sharing a common experience. Something was going on there which was actually beyond words, which would be very difficult to express in any kind of rational way. And I've always felt that something like that was going on with Mary and Elizabeth in this encounter that we read in the Gospel according to Luke. They have things in common. They're both expectant mothers. And they're related to one another in some ways. Some people think that perhaps they were cousins. There may be other things that on the surface they had in common. But there was something a lot deeper going on between these two women that brought them together, which would enable them to be in a quiet place and not saying very much, but feeling that they were very close. And I believe that between them there was a very exceptional kind of sharing. They were sharing a unique experience in the first instance, because both of them were going through impossible pregnancies. Elizabeth was expecting this baby, and the angel Gabriel said to Mary that she was expecting this baby in her old age. It wasn't deemed possible for her to have a child. And then there was Mary, who had no sexual experience, and yet she would be able to say that the Holy Spirit had come upon her and the power of the Most High had overshadowed her, and she was going to give birth to this special baby. The problem for Mary, of course, was that she was unmarried. So who was going to believe her? And who was going to support her through this time? You know, some people like to read things into the Bible instead of taking out from the Bible the truth that it's seeking to convey. And it's been suggested that Mary was packed off to Elizabeth by an embarrassed family to keep her out the road. But you know, when I read the account that we have in the Gospel according to Luke, we're told that Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered the home of Zechariah. Mary's not being forced to go to Elizabeth. This is her own initiative. She knows that when she goes to visit Elizabeth, she'll be welcomed, she'll be understood, and she'll be supported. It's more than just the common experience. There's something deeper going on there, which maybe even Mary herself didn't entirely understand. And I believe, friends, that for us there will be times in our lives when we need that kind of experience that Mary is looking for in this moment. There are times when our lives are turned upside down. When there's bad news about our health. When perhaps a loved one has passed beyond our sight, our touch, and our call. Maybe our job is looking a bit shaky. And we feel that it will be so good for us in so many ways if we can find someone who's in that same place that we can talk to, that we can listen to. If we can find someone who has gone through it and is able to relate to us at a very deep level. And that's always good for us, friends. But you know, those of us who believe today in Mary's baby, those of us who have experienced the call of this Jesus, whenever we approach Him, whenever we hurry to Him in our times of upheaval, then we can experience exactly the right kind of help. It's a remarkable thing for us to think of. But when Mary's son died, rose again and went to heaven, he took with him all that human experience that he had undergone. So that in heaven today there is someone who understands when we are having troubled thoughts. He understands when we're in pain. He might not have experienced sin, but he knows what it's like to have a darkness come down upon his soul that, in a sense, blocked his relationship with his heavenly Father. "Why have you forsaken me?" he cried out on the cross. So when we go to him in prayer, in the difficult days, we're welcomed. We're understood. And when his soul touches ours, we have strength. And we have peace. It's what the writer of that letter to the Hebrews is seeking to convey to us when he says that we have a high priest. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tested in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. So we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. And we will receive mercy. And we will find grace to help us in our time of need. His soul can touch us. So these two women experiencing this unique experience together. And also they're sharing a particular destiny that has fallen to them. Let's think about them for a wee minute. You know, one of them, Elizabeth, is elderly. The other one, Mary, is quite possibly very young. Elizabeth is the wife of a priest. Perhaps not in considerable status in the community, but there were plenty of priests around, really. And Mary certainly was not one of the movers and shakers in her community, and certainly not in her nation. And yet, these two women have been caught up in this great plan that God has for the universe. The great clean-up operation in which He is engaged, so that in that moment that He already has in His mind, there will be nothing left in heaven or on earth that will ever be able to hurt us. When Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. And this is the moment. What these two women are experiencing beneath the surface is that this is the moment when God is going to fulfill all his promises to his ancient people. Because the prophets, and in particular Isaiah the prophet that we heard from this morning, he said that there would be a forerunner to the Messiah, one who would come to prepare the way for the Lord. And Elizabeth is carrying that forerunner, the one who would be called John the Baptist. And Mary, this non-entity of a person in many ways, is carrying the Messiah. On the surface, you know, these are women that you might just pass in the street and never give them a second look. But they have a particular place in the eternal plan of God for the whole of creation. You know, when Mary came into the house of Zechariah, Elizabeth was moved to make this exuberant declaration. You know, blessed are you among women, Mary. And blessed is the baby to which you will give birth. She knows that this is a special moment when the mother of her Lord is coming into her house. And Elizabeth herself, she is part of the deep story as well. She says to Mary, "When the child within me heard your voice, I felt him leaping with joy." Now, what is going on there? You know, I think sometimes we analyze things to death. And what I'm seeing really is this special bond between the born and the unborn. Souls which are touching. And isn't it interesting for the ethics of the unborn child that this baby was able to respond to a voice? But what we're seeing here is a community of souls involved in this great destiny that God has planned for each one of them. Beneath the surface of things, these individuals, and I'm including the unborn, these individuals have a significance that's way beyond their ordinary status in life. You know, George Mackay Brown, the Scottish writer, he has a short story. And at one point, there's a sermon preached by a priest, an Orkney priest, in the Middle Ages. And there's one particular Sunday when he looks out on his congregation. And he says in his sermon, "We're poor people. I'm looking out and I'm seeing Olaf the fisherman. I'm seeing Jock the crofter. I'm seeing Mirren, the hen wife. We were all born to hunger and meekle hardship." But then he says there's something else that needs to be said. "You, my people, are heirs and viceroys of a kingdom. Each one of you has in his keeping an immortal soul, a rich jewel indeed, more precious than all the world beside. That's what I'm looking at this morning. Immortal souls, in whom Christ dwells, who are carrying with them a destiny, that one day you, with all the people of God, gathered together in His new creation, with holy beauty will shine. The struggles of this life behind you, and the glories of the new creation opening up for you to enjoy. They shared a unique experience, these women, and a particular destiny, but also this profound faith. Elizabeth finishes up by saying, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Their souls have touched Mary and Elizabeth. And that faith that they shared together is a key to understanding that. You know, Elizabeth has said with regard to her pregnancy, "The Lord has done this for me." Mary has said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to His word." And now Elizabeth is saying, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And this is the theme that we're on the first Sunday in Advent, friends. The fact that God came to His ancient people and made promises to them, and these people believed that one day these promises would be fulfilled. Everything that God has said to them would be accomplished according to His word. And we light the candle in memory of these people who believed. And all through the scriptures you'll find this. Astonishing faith in the midst of all the struggles and challenges that people faced. You know, I never, as a good Presbyterian, I never start my day without reading a few Psalms. And I came across a verse the other day that really spoke to me. It's from the long Psalm, Psalm 119, where the psalmist says, "I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." I have put my hope in your word. And there's reason for me to put my hope in His word, because He has revealed Himself to me in the life of His Son Jesus. And you see, this is the key to the faith of Elizabeth and Mary. Their lives have been turned upside down, but they know their God. They know their God, insofar as He has been revealed through the word that has come to Israel in their day. But they would be quite comfortable, and in eternity today, I'm sure they're quite comfortable with the Apostle Paul, who once, when he was meditating on such deep and eternal things that it sometimes blows your mind, but Paul at one point wrote to the church in Rome, he said, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for me, he said, gave him up for us all. But Paul was being struck by the fact that he was worth the death of God's only Son. And he goes on to say, well, how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? And this is the God we're dealing with. The one who loves you so much that he allowed his Son to be nailed to a cross so that your sins could be forgiven and so that you could live in the closest of relationships with him now and know that your soul is safe for eternity. He will graciously give us everything that matters. And when you think of your health this morning, that can break down. When you think of life, trying to imagine life without someone who's very close, but they can be taken. Your job might always be on a shaky foundation. So what really matters today is that God has revealed himself as the one who would not hold back even his only Son, so that you can be closer to him, so that you can be gathered up in his great destiny. And all he asks for you this morning, all he wants for you, from you, is that you trust him. I'm like David, I love Christmas. I won't be getting a train set. As long as I've got the 3 B's, I'm happy. Books, box sets, Belgian chocolates. Let me knock myself out with them. That's Christmas as far as I'm concerned. It just occurred to me yesterday that I really do like this time of year. It's dark, but as long as there are lights, that's fine. It's another Advent, it's another Christmas. What matters is how we emerge from this time, friends. Oh, there's loads of things that we do and we enjoy. But let's pray that as we come out of this particular Advent, who knows how crucial this might be for us? This Advent, this Christmas, let it be, O Lord, that you are clearer to me. Let it be that something of that deep love that you have for me touches my soul. Let it be that I am more fit to be part of your kingdom. Let your soul touch mine. Let's pray. God our Father, thank you for all your blessings to us and for the gift of your Son Jesus. And enable us to come through this time of the year, the usual celebrations, but with a deep desire to have more of God, more of his ways, more of his love. Amen.